This is Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Eitan Shander in for Patrick tonight, SB Nation Radio. And as promised, we are joined by one of the best ever to return kicks, punts in the business, former Skin Eagle Giant. 3 years in Philadelphia and made more of an impact, as I am in Philadelphia and have covered the Eagles forever and grew up an Eagles fan, more of an impact than most people who have spent 15, 20 years in that city. That's how impactful and insightful Brian Mitchell is. He's down in D.C. at B-Mitch Live, NBCCS, so of course working for NBC Sports Washington and ESPN 980. Brian, Eitan Shander, always a pleasure to break bread with you. Appreciate you joining me on the national level. Good evening to you, sir.
Oh, man, cool. How you doing?
You know, things are well here. Let me ask you first and foremost, what was the conversation like in D.C. about how far and legit of a contender the Skins can be before Alex Smith goes down?
To be honest with you, many people were saying that Alex Play had to step up for them to remain a contender. There were some people that were happy about the fact that he didn't turn the football over, but there were many people that were upset and disappointed that he didn't take chances down the field very often. And I think there are some people, which if it's confusing, that may say that are saying that Colt McCoy may give them a better chance because he'll take those chances. He'll throw the ball down the field. But then again, there are those people that sit there and say, well, you know, Colt McCoy doesn't have the same arm strength that many people would expect him to have to throw a lot of the plays they want to throw. So it's kind of the same. And I think just like we all felt that defense, if the defense played great, this team can win. But if the defense didn't play great, which they hadn't done in the last few weeks, that they'll have problems.
So personally, what was your reaction to the conversation that kind of stayed the same? Because you're right, you can lay out one or two ends, and this is not like a clear-cut, hey, come on now, Alex Smith is gone and the team's screwed. You laid out reasonable expectations for McCoy as well. Where do you personally stand on this?
Well, for me, I expected more out of Alex, to be totally honest with you. Watching him last year in Kansas City, and I understand the talent around him last year was different in Kansas City. But when he got here, and then Adrian Peterson fell into their lap, and I thought the running game was going to be the key to this team. If you have a great running game and you have a quarterback who protects the football and a defense who plays great, you can go and win some football games. But then we began to see him not take chances, and the defense began to sputter a little bit. So I started to get concerned about it before. And right now, I have the same level of concern. You know, I understand that a lot in D.C., the second-string quarterback is the greatest thing until he starts starting, and the next second-string quarterback becomes the best thing. So for me, I'm still on the mindset that, I said it on TV after the game, that this is not about Colt McCoy or Alex Smith. This is about the whole team getting better. I've been talking all year about adjustments on offense, adjustments on defense, finding different ways to get the ball into the hands of your star players. And a lot of it hadn't happened. And if that stays the same way, we're going to be talking about what was and not what is.
Well, how important now, Brian, moving forward, especially with the backup quarterback, and how much do you think Adrian Peterson gets leaned on more than he already has been?
You would think that he's going to get leaned on a lot more, but, you know, we still have Jay Gruden calling the plays, and I think Jay would rather throw the football than run the football. A lot of times they give up too soon, and I liken it to a heavyweight championship boxing match. If you are constantly hitting the guy in the body, and there are people looking for, like, they want to see the blood, they want to see the big eyes, they want to see swelling coming, and they're thinking you're losing the fight because the guy hit you in the face a couple times, but you've hit him in the body 25, 30 times. All of a sudden, you get to the fifth round, that guy's arms are down because he got to protect his body now. You hit him in the face, you knock him out, you win the game. Same thing with running game. If you stick with it, you may not get the big run. You may not get the 10-yard or the 15-yard. You may get four here, three here, two here, but then you get three or four again. But if you keep doing it, all of a sudden you wear down a defense, and then at the end of the game, like they did against the Giants, you get those big runs from your running backs. They don't normally seem to wait. If they don't get the big runs early, they go away from it. I think that's a disservice to your team, because offensive linemen will tell you over and over again, I'd rather pass run block than pass block. I could be aggressive then. They can't be aggressive when they pass protect me.
Brian Mitchell joining me, Eitan Shander, SB Nation Radio. Of course, Brian on Twitter, at BMitchLive, NBCCS. So let me start with this matchup specifically on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. How much of where it's played do you think will play a factor in this game, Brian?
It plays a lot because Dallas will be at home. They'll be comfortable. The Redskins have to travel today. Dallas is sitting at home. They're not worried about traveling. And when you get, if you can get your crowd behind you. But I think that's the one thing that my ears are playing. When I went to our opposing team, the mindset was if we get them out the game, take the crowd out the game, which means you're winning, and you get your team, get that team down, they start leaving. Their fans start leaving, and then your fans come out and start cheering, like you heard the Redskins or people talking about when they were down in Tampa Bay. So the Cowboys get that home field advantage, and then you look at Vegas. Vegas got them as 8-point favorites.
Mm.
You know, I think that right there should motivate the team, motivate the Redskins. And they have to understand, the first game, you won by 3. And it came down to a questionable penalty that moved them back, and then they end up hitting the upright on the field goal that could have taken it to overtime. Then who knows what could have happened. It's not like you blew them out here in D.C. So now you have to be concerned about the fact that they're at home and they're much more comfortable than what you would be.
How many Thanksgiving games did you play in, Brian?
I think I only played in one, to be totally honest with you.
Was it that much of a disruption of the week to week for you?
No, it wasn't, because I know it's just like any other time. We start playing games on Thursdays, and you play some Saturday, you play Monday.
Right.
It didn't make a difference. You know, you're playing a football game, and that's the ultimate thing. And I think my first year, you know, I was that young guy who got hyped up for, like, the nationally televised game. But I was lucky enough to have guys like Monty Coleman and Darryl Green and Ernest Biner on my team to where they were able to give me some of that veteran experience, that conversation, and say, hey, man, just chill out. Calm down. It's just a football game. And I was able to approach it like that. But then as I got older, I understood exactly what they were talking about because, you know, too many guys put too much into Monday night, Sunday night, you know, got a Thursday night game. You have to just figure out the way to get yourself ready to go. And I think that's the main thing. If you play at 1 o'clock, when you wake up in the morning on a Sunday, boom, bam, 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 all of a sudden you're at the game. But if you have a Sunday night game, and then you think about Thanksgiving, you know, you think about, well, I could be with my family, but all of a sudden, no, you got a football game.
Right.
And the Redskins are playing at 4:30 here, which is a difference of what they normally do at 1 o'clock now. So you have to try to make sure that you lay around a little bit longer. And I've always tried to get up and give myself the same amount of time once I got out the bed to get to the stadium. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No matter what time of the day I played, I tried to give myself that 3 to 4 hour period to where I could do everything the exact same way.
I love it because you are the straightest shooter I think I've ever covered in the history of this league. And you know as alpha as the NFL gets. So I could see you, you know, 5-6 years in this league, some young bucks going up and down crazy. You just walk up to them, hand on the shoulder, easy young fella.
I probably use some other words, though.
Yes, that's fair.
Calm your A down.
Yes, yeah, well, and not even missing a beat. Like, not even getting hyped, telling them just, like, calm your bleep bleep down, young man.
You got that right.
Let me ask you, Brian, all right, I'm going to give you $20 of Monopoly money, funny money here, right, not real money. Who is the odds-on favorite, in your opinion, right now, to win this crazy, wacky division?
Oh, Lord. I don't have a clue, man.
Right?
I wish I could tell you it was the Redskins, but I don't really believe in it because this is what I'm looking at right now. They are going to Dallas. Dallas win the game. The Redskins and Dallas are tied. Okay? If the Redskins win, now if the Redskins win the game, and I think they have the best chance of winning it, but if they lose this game, who knows? You know, because if Colt plays well, now they come back feeling good about things. But if he doesn't play well, are you going to put your faith in Mark Sanchez?
No, sir. I've been down that road in Philadelphia.
You know, and that's and when you look at Philly. Philly is still there. I don't think the Giants are going to win it by no stretch, so I take them out of it.
Right.
But then you look at Philly. Philly just went down to New Orleans. They still have to go see the Rams. And you see what New Orleans did to them, and then you watch what the Rams just did on Sunday night. Do you think they're going to beat the Rams?
Oh, no.
So it's either Dallas or the Redskins, to be honest with you.
Brian, what do you think of Monday night? And I don't think that this is the new norm by any means, but you know it's getting a lot of reaction, going over 100 combined points. When you watch the NFL played at that high of a clip on offense, what do you make of it?
Well, I say this. You had two of the best play callers in the history of this game calling plays. Andy Reid, who was the old sensei, and Sean McVay was a young student. But you know what? Andy still can design an offense as well as anybody out there. And I think what happened in that game, the team that played the better defense won the football game. And people can sit up here and say, well, 105 points were scored, but two touchdowns were scored, I think, from from defense on the Rams side, and one touchdown was scored from on defense from the Kansas City Chiefs side. So although there were a lot of points, you saw some damn good defense in that game. You know, you can't tell me Aaron Donald is not a great defensive player. Houston, he started to play like he had been playing before. But ultimately in that game, what happened was the 8 penalties against the Chiefs early. You know, this hitting a defenseless receiver.
Yes.
I need to sit down with Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent and please let them know, ever since I was 5 years old, if you were playing any football and you had the ball in your hand, you know you're going to get hit.
Right.
And that the one that they call on the kid from the Chiefs, the guy from the Rams catches the ball. He comes in, turns his head to the side like he's supposed to. His shoulder hit the football. The kid didn't even hit the ground, and they call hitting a defensive receiver.
It's unbelievable.
And, they've confused the fan. They confused the former player. And this game of football, I understand that we're trying to protect players. But some of it is just too one-sided for the offense, and it's making defensive players play thinking instead of just reacting, and that makes you get hurt more than anything.
Last one, Brian Mitchell, my guest, Eitan Shander, SB Nation Radio, at B Mitch Live, NBCCS. You think this is the year Andy Reid finally gets it? You know we're all rooting for him.
You know what? It's going to come down to his defense, because he will have to beat some other teams out there that could probably put some points up too. And but I'm going to say this, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Kelsey, and Hunt, they give him a damn good chance.
It'll be fun to watch, dude, at the very least.
Let me
right?
tell you, Andy Reid right now is like a kid with the best talent. He's drawing it up in the dirt.
I love it. Hey, B. Mitch, thanks as always, man. I really appreciate the time and the insight. You're the best. You know that.
All right, man. Y'all take care. Have a great
one. Got it. You got it. Brian Mitchell, again, at B. Mitch Live, NBCCS. He is on TV, NBC Sports Washington, and on the radio, ESPN 980. And I kid you not, this guy, he is the straightest shooter I've ever covered, and now this is the perfect position for him to be, which is in the media, because he just, you think I go off when it comes to my Eagles and here in Philadelphia. He has no filter whatsoever and lets people have it. All right, we'll close the hour out. Eitan Shander in for Patrick right here on SB Nation Radio.